it's coming through a hole in the air.
Hi, I'm Rachel T.
Hi, I'm Eva.
Hi, I'm Rachel G.
We are all Girl Scouts, and this is WGXC ACRA.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you are lucky enough to tune in to the WGXC Morning Show on Friday, May 13th. Today we will hear from Assemblymember Richard Gottfried, who's retiring this year, but he's still trying to get a health program passed through New York State, and he'll talk about that today on the show. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
Two Hudson Valley-based bands, Frenchie and the Punk and the Dust Bowl Fairies, perform at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock on May 12th at 8 p.m. You can find out more on the WGXC community calendar about the two bands. Frenchie and the Punk is French-born singer and percussionist Samantha Stevenson and American guitarist Scott Helland, who played with Deep Wound. The Dust Bowl Fairies include Ryder Cooley, John B. Wooden, Liz LeJudis, Andrew Stein, and Ruby LaRue. Again, they're at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock, Thursday, May 12th at 8 p.m. Go to the WGXC community calendar online to find out more information about this show and many others.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elizabeth Powell Leather Items of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that New York Attorney General Letitia James is warning consumers to be on the alert for price gouging of baby formula during the ongoing supply shortage. The lack of formula has dragged on for several weeks after supply chain problems and a recall from a major supplier earlier in the year. The scarcity has led to some parents driving to multiple stores to find formula. James also warned retailers about boosting the cost of baby formula beyond a reasonable price during the shortage. Quote, the national baby formula shortage is terrifying for parents concerned about how to feed their children, unquote, James said. Quote, the last thing any family needs is to be price gouged on critical nutrition for their little ones, which is why I am putting profiteers seeking to take advantage of this crisis on notice, unquote. James' staff is urging consumers to report any potential price gouging by filing a complaint at the Attorney General's website with a link on the WGXC newsroom. Meanwhile, James urged parents who have extra formula to consider donations to food pantries to help needy families. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that there will be at least two debates between candidates running for governor this year. The debates announced so far, June 7th and 16th, will be between Democrats in the primary election. Incumbent Governor Kathy Hochul, Long Island Representative Tom Suozzi, and New York City Public Advocate Jemani Williams are expected to participate in the debate. Williams, who is running on the Working Families Party line, wanted more than two debates, but says that Hochul previously said she would participate in, and I quote, multiple debates, end quote. She would only agree to two forums with the other candidates. Williams said, and I quote, the governor's refusal to accept additional invitations demonstrates an aversion to transparency and an unwillingness to speak openly about her own record, end quote. Suozzi said Hochul, and I quote, does not want to face the hard-hitting questions about her failures, end quote, on campaign issues such as crime, taxes, and corruption. Suozzi said, and I quote, the voters should be entitled to hold her accountable, end quote. Instead of creating debates that all media could air, the June 7th debate will be hosted by WCBS-TV Channel 2, CBS News New York, and News Radio 880, all in New York City. The other debate on June 16th will be hosted by NBC New York, Telemundo 47, and the Times Union. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Bill Williams reports for Columbia Green Media that a large brush fire burned for more than 4 hours on May 10th in Stuyvesant. Quote, it was a tough fire to fight, unquote, said Stuyvesant Fire Chief Steve Monty. Some brush burned, but the fire mostly consumed piles of cut down trees, wood, and other items. Some of the material that burned was buried underground, Monty said. At about 3:30 p.m., Columbia County 911 dispatched the Stuyvesant Fire Company to a location on Ike Bush Road after receiving reports of a brush fire consuming roughly 100 feet of land. When firefighters arrived on the scene, the fire had grown and seven more fire companies with brush fighting equipment were summoned to the scene. The blaze was located about a half mile off Ike Bush Road in the middle of a large field. Fire trucks were able to use one of the dirt roads on the farm to get to the fire, but driving the trucks around the fire scene was more difficult. Firefighters used a pond on the property as a water source. An excavator, a payloader, and a bulldozer were used to pull apart the piles of trees so firefighters could get more water on them, Monty said. Smoke from the fire was visible from several miles away. The fire was brought under control after about 4 hours. More than 1 acre was blackened, Monty said. There were no reported injuries. The fire began because the property owner was illegally burning materials and was subsequently ticketed by the State Department of Environmental Conservation, Monty said. The annual statewide burn ban went into effect on March 16 and is set to expire on May 14th. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
New York State of Politics reports that though the New York State Labor Department's Farm Laborers Wage Board voted in January to treat farm workers the same as most other workers, they are still not getting overtime pay after a week of 40 hours of work. Richard Witt, executive director of Rural Migrant Ministry, said, and I quote, I'm really at a loss as to what is taking so long. For years, actually, we've heard the Farm Bureau and other farmers say that they couldn't afford this change, and the governor put in the budget a tax credit that would enable them to afford it. So I think the governor has addressed their main concern. So I'm really at a loss as to why this delay, end quote. The Farm Laborers Wage Board still needs to vote to adopt its official report from January. Then State Labor Commissioner Roberta Reardon will have 45 days from when she receives the report to approve it or overturn the vote. Most all workers in New York get overtime pay after 40 hours of work in a week, but not farm workers, which said, and I quote, "There's really no moral justification for not treating farm workers the same. They have families, they need to pay their bills," end quote. Farmers who would have to pay the overtime rates are opposed to farm workers being treated the same way as grocery store employees. On May 11th, the Business Council of New York State, the National Federation of Independent Businesses of New York, and Upstate United sent letters to Governor Kathy Hochul asking to keep the threshold for farm workers' overtime at 60 hours of labor a week. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
William J. Kemble is reporting for the Daily Freeman that the town of Woodstock's nine-month moratorium on the creation or approval of new lodging projects has lapsed. An ad hoc committee continues to work on recommendations for zoning updates involving affordable housing and short-term rentals. Officials on May 10th were told draft zoning changes would be submitted by the Town Housing Oversight Task Force during a special May 31st town board meeting, roughly a month after the moratorium expired. Quote, "We thought we would be done sooner, but we want to be sure that what we're providing is something of value to everyone," unquote, committee member Deborah DeWan said. The task force was established in February and expects to complete a revision of the town's 300-page zoning code along with a summary of the proposed changes. Quote, "Part of the goal here is to protect our environment but make development easier," unquote, Supervisor Bill McKenna said. Quote, "We're trying to incentivize development so that we can get more affordable housing," unquote, he said. McKenna noted that the state programs exist that can be used to help the town develop reserve funds that can be put toward conservation easements. Under the moratorium, task force members were directed to, quote, "consider regional needs and development trends, the existing and proposed location and intensity of land development, the historic, cultural, and natural resources of the town, population, demographic, and socioeconomic trends and infrastructure," unquote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Tim Martin reports that Catskill High School plays Chatham for the Patroon Baseball Conference title on May 13th. Catskill defeated Maple Hill May 11th, 3-2 to advance, while Chatham beat Greenville 9-3 on May 11th. The conference championship takes place at 4:30 p.m. at Columbia Green Community College. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, partly sunny with a high near 77 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 62 degrees. And on Saturday, a chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 2 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 77 degrees. And Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 62 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Friday, May 13th is your lucky day to tune in WGXC 90.7 FM. At 10 a.m., you'll hear the Global Agogo Show, this week with tracks from Sons of Kemet, Jama Groove, and Chinoso Iguata. All Mixed Up is on at noon after the local news with music from Angelique Kidjo, Alice Russell, and Joni Mitchell. At 6 p.m., we are live from Catskill with the Clubhouse Radio crew playing all sorts of music live from Main Street. Bound by Books, the Teenagers That Talk About What They've Been Reading show is on at 7 p.m., hosted by Emily Chimedius from the Hudson Area Library. We've got local music on the Hudson Valley Sounds program at 8 p.m., and then DJ Shavar is live from Hudson with the Friday Night Vibe session on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On June 17th, three bands come to Tubby's in Kingston. First, E, the trio of Jason Sidney Sanford, Thaddeus Zedek, and Gavin McCarthy play rock music. Live Skull, the renowned 1980s post-punk experimental rock band, is back together and are playing on this show with Upper Wilds, who record for Thrill Jockey and feature multi-instrumentalist songwriter Dan Friel, who's best known for his work in the band Parts and Labor. E, Live Skull, and Upper Wilds play at Tubby's in Kingston June 17th, and you can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
If you can't make your local town meetings but want to attend, WGXC can help. Currently, local volunteers make recordings and live web streams of the Catskill Town Meetings, the Hudson Common Council Meetings, and the Columbia County Board of Supervisor Meetings. If you miss the live web streams, volunteers post recordings of these meetings as soon as possible at WGXC.org on the newsroom page and in the audio archives. If you're going to local meetings and you have a phone in your pocket, you can help too. Email info@wgxc.org and WGXC will help you share recordings of local meetings and events. You can also use the free WGXC app, available in the App Store, to do your own live webcast from local events. Contact info@wgxc.org for more information about how you can help share valuable local information about your community with your friends and neighbors.
Hello and welcome to the Better Weather, broadcasting from under a ladder atop a pile of broken mirror bits on this Friday, May 13th. Early morning temperatures range from 51 degrees in Durham to 60 in Red Hook. A cloudy morning will linger around 70 degrees, then opening skies will provide for a high of 84 at 4 p.m. Overnight, temperatures fall to 65 degrees. Then, Saturday afternoon, chances for rain and even some thunder enter the area. And they will persist overnight as temperatures fall to 64 degrees. Sunday will be even wetter with more chances for storm activity in the afternoon. A high of 80 is expected. Monday, another stormy afternoon and a high of 77. Pollen levels will be high for today, medium for Saturday, and may drop to low levels on Sunday. Today's tide schedule, and that is for Friday, is high tide at 1:16 a.m., low tide at 7:55 a.m., high tide again at 1:26 p.m., and low tide once again at 8:09 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 59 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:51 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:33 a.m. Looking way up, we see that at least one of the coronal mass ejections released in a cluster yesterday appeared to be on course to provide a glancing blow to our magnetosphere today. Solar wind speed is currently 349 kilometers per second at 6.4 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then fair below 15 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 112. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Teo Campo-Real of Athens, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Tune in to all sorts of live radio shows every Sunday on WGXC 90.7 FM, beginning at 8 a.m., where the Reverend Kim Singletary is live with There's a Bright Side Somewhere from Columbia County, every Sunday at 8 a.m. Then at 9 a.m., Janessa Hope McKay brings you a slap of reality live from the WGXC studio in Hudson in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. She's playing her top music pick and talking about her hot topics of the week until 11 a.m. At 1 p.m., every Sunday, DJ Neva Wartell is live with Music for the Masses from Catskill, with sounds from around the world. At 4 p.m. every Sunday, Carlene Murphy and Azuka Legba are live with the Lile Latan version of the WGXC Afternoon Show until 6 p.m. And every Sunday night, Tony Fallon is live with the Irish Show at 8 p.m. on the radio from Acre on 90.7 WGXC.
Spreading together. And then I'm just, there's good news. Good evening.
For me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. They diss my person by stating I'm darkly packed. I know this, so I point at Q-Tip and he states,
black is black.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, shovel chestnuts in my path. Just keep on up with the nuts so I don't get an aftermath. But if I do, I'll calmly punch them in the 4th day of July. Cause they try to mess with 3rd degree, that's me, myself, and I. Nah. It's just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I.
Groups advocating for older New Yorkers say a bill passed by the New York State Senate would help level the playing field for utility customers. Currently, when utilities go to the New York Public Service Commission to request a rate hike, they can apply to be reimbursed for items like expert witness fees and other costs associated with the proceedings. Bill Ferris with AARP New York says this legislation would give that same option to groups of ratepayers or nonprofits challenging rate increases.
Ratepayers were paying business expenses of utilities to raise their own rates. Now we're leveling the playing field, making sure that ratepayers can get reimbursed for their rates at the table at the Public Service Commission to protect themselves.
Ferris notes, especially during the pandemic, more New Yorkers over 50 have reported struggling to pay their utility bills. According to the Census Bureau's Household Pulse survey, nearly 20% of New Yorkers said they've been unable to pay an energy bill in full in the last 12 months. The legislation is now in the State Assembly. Ferris adds, as the summer months approach, people are concerned about paying to cool their homes, and being able to heat them in winter is just as important.
It's very important to keep the lights on, so to speak, and this legislation is designed to help people have more of a voice in Albany when the utilities come in and try to raise the rates. We want to have as much consumer ratepayer representation at the negotiation table.
Governor Kathy Hochul recently announced $15 million will be made available through the Home Energy Assistance Program to help low-income households without air conditioning cool their homes this summer. While it used to be only for folks with medical conditions exacerbated by extreme heat, it's been expanded to all income-eligible New Yorkers. Applications are open until either the end of August or when funds run out. This is Lily Bolke with New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators for transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Interesting, boring, really boring, wonderful things.
It'd be about
chocolate pigs.
She's obsessed with pigs.
Chocolate pigs.
Awesome.
All the way down.
I turned it down. Only dogs can hear.
I turned it down.
Did you hear that?
No.
The WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org has so many things for you to consider doing. Let's take a gander. Friday, May 13th in the evening, the band Weak Signal performs at Tubby's in Kingston. They are also joined by Prison, which features members of Endless Boogie, Rites of Spring, Silver Jews, and Liquor Store. And then a third band got added to the bill with a member of Gang Gang Dance. That's Friday, May 13th at Tubby's in Kingston. Saturday, May 14th, there's a hike at the Latvian camp at the Latvian church in Elka Park. The spring rummage sale at the First Reformed Church of Catskill continues on Saturday, May 14th from 9 a.m. to just 1 p.m. Also, Saturday, May 14th, the Chatham Repair Cafe will fix up your weird technology, your bike with a flat tire, or a broken lamp, and they'll also teach you how to fix it yourself. That's 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Chatham Firehouse, the Chatham Repair Cafe, 10 Hoffman Street in Chatham, Saturday, May 14th. There's a second annual Walking for Children 5K walk in the Angela Canna Park in Cairo for Shriners Hospitals, Saturday, May 14th, 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. for that. Oakdale Park's rewilding project is from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, May 14th. Community is invited to help fix up, rewild the park. Let's go crazy. Saturday, May 14th, there's an interactive tour for families at the Art O' My Sculpture Park in Ghent. That's from noon to 1:45 p.m. O' My also has a writer's residency reading at 5 p.m. at the Art O' My Park in Ghent. Bridge Street Theater has a bintel brief. A bintel brief is Yiddish for a bundle of letters. And it was a daily advice column with the Jewish Daily Forward for 80 years. Now it's been developed and directed by Carol Russoff into a stage reading with live music. Saturday, May 14th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, May 15th at 2 p.m. at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. Saturday, May 14th, Athens starts its second Saturday film screenings with Harold and Maude. Once the sun goes down, they say 8:30, but it'll probably be a little later than that. Athens Cultural Center is putting it on. And Tuesday, you can find out about local railroad history from the Mountaintop Historical Society. Robert Gildersleeve is giving a workshop at 7 p.m. That's in Palinville. These events and many, many more are in the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, where you can even add your own event. If you go to the WGXC community calendar, you'll see right near the top of the page there the button that says inside, add an event. If you just click on that, then you just fill in the blanks, and soon enough, folks will be reading your event on the radio at 90.7 FM and reading it around the world in the WGXC community calendar at wgxc.org.
Thank you. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Assemblymember Richard Gottfried, who, besides being known as the longest tenured member of the state legislature, has also been the longtime champion of single-payer health care, Medicare for All, known as New York Health. It has passed the state assembly quite a few times in recent years, but it's not made as much progress in the state Senate. So, Assemblymember, what's your hopes for New York Health this session?
It's a very uphill fight at this point. And we've only got a couple of weeks left in the session. Since the assembly last passed the bill in in 2018, we have had almost all of the public employee unions in the state have come out against the bill. And that has so far kept it fairly stalled, and it hasn't come to the floor in either house since then. It always comes out of, gets reported from the Assembly Health Committee, but doesn't get much farther than that, which is very frustrating. I mean, we can talk a little, if you like, about why the public sector unions are opposing the bill and what it may take to turn that around.
Now, you know, Medicare for All basically means that one program pays all healthcare bills, everybody's covered, nobody's kept out, no copays, premiums, deductibles, gives right. a pretty comprehensive, you know, healthcare package. So why would the public employees union not be supportive of this measure?
Well, they say they're not confident that the benefits under the New York Health Act would be as good as or better than what they have currently negotiated for their members. We've offered them bill language that, I mean, the bill already makes it crystal clear that the scope of benefits, which would include long-term care like home care, is dramatically better than any union health plan, public or private, in New York. We've offered language to make that even more explicit. They haven't responded to that. They say, gee, how do we know how much it's going to cost down the road? And as we've explained, they don't really know how much their current health benefits are going to cost down the road, except it's guaranteed to cost a whole lot more. We've offered language to guarantee that whatever percentage of the premium a public sector employer is now paying for the health plan, they must pay at least that percentage, including up to 100% of the payroll tax under the New York Health Act. We've offered them that language and they haven't responded. I think part of it is that, you know, there are a lot of labor leaders who, when you talk to them, they say, you know, every time we're at the bargaining table, we have to give up wages and benefits in order to protect the union health plan. For crying out loud, you know, let's pass New York Health and get the health benefit off the bargaining table. But the public sector union leaders, while they also say that they are constantly having to give up wages and benefits to protect the health plan, they seem to like being the ones who deliver the health benefit to their members and seem to not like the idea that the legislature would provide health benefits to all 20 million New Yorkers. It's kind of frustrating.
Now, haven't there been studies that indicate that, you know, something like New York Health, a single payer program, would actually significantly cut overall costs for consumers and taxpayers?
Well, that's certainly true. We would save about $60 billion a year under the New York Health Act by getting rid of the bureaucracy and marketing and profit of insurance companies. We would dramatically cut the administrative costs of doctors and hospitals and other providers that we now have to pay for so that they can fight with insurance companies. And because we would be bargaining on behalf of 20 million covered lives, we could dramatically bring down prescription drug prices. That $60 billion would more than cover the cost of covering the uninsured and getting rid of deductibles and copays and out of network charges, et cetera, and as well as expanding the benefits to include long-term care. So even with all those increased benefits under the New York Health Act, we would still have net savings of $10 billion or so a year. And because the funding would be based on a progressively graduated tax based on ability to pay, 95% of New Yorkers would be paying less for coverage and care than they're now spending. And that's been documented by any number of consulting, academic and consulting analysis, including most recently a major analysis done by the Rand Corporation. And you don't get a lot more qualified in that line of work than the Rand Corporation.
So what needs to happen in the next 3-4 weeks for this bill to finally move, particularly as this is, you're going to be your last session in the state legislature, we're going to lose the longtime champion. Shouldn't they be doing this as your legacy gift project?
Well, that would be nice, but I don't think that's going to do the trick. You know, both houses of the legislature, you know, with strong Democratic majorities, are very reluctant to get into a knockdown, drag out fight with the public employee unions. That's just political reality. Even though we've got a majority of the members of both houses who are co-sponsors of the bill, there is still concern about the political clout of the public sector unions. We've been offering to the unions all sorts of amendments to satisfy what the concerns that we hear from them. They haven't responded. Meanwhile, of course, by the way, when I say the unions, it's the public sector employee unions. In the private sector, a large chunk of the labor movement strongly supports the bill. The nurses, the healthcare workers union, 1199, the building service employees in New York City, called 32BJ, the retail and department store union, RWDSU, and there are several other major unions that support the bill. But the people who support it, are usually not as adamant, on any issue as the people who are fighting against something. And so that's why I say we've got a very uphill fight in the next couple of weeks. If it doesn't get done this year, I will be handing off the bill to one of my colleagues. There are any number of members of the assembly who are very talented and very energetic and very smart and very committed to the New York Health Act. So if it doesn't happen this year, State Senator Gustavo Rivera on the Senate side is going to continue the fight, and there will be a strong supporter carrying the bill on the assembly side.
And will we see you back in the halls of the legislature trying to talk to your former colleagues on next session?
Well, I don't know. I am very much looking forward to retirement. I love what I do. I've loved it for all the 52 years I've been in Albany, but I'm also looking forward to loving retirement. So what my role might be in the future, we'll see. I will certainly be available to whoever is the new sponsor of the bill.
Thank you for your, I guess, almost a half century of contribution to the New York State Legislature. We've been talking to Assemblymember Richard Gottfried about the New York Health proposal, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Cold-blooded old time. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. The type of memories that turn your bones to glass. Turn your bones to glass. Mother came rushing in. Said we didn't see a thing.
We said we didn't see a thing. And father left at 8, nearly splintering the gate. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. The type of memories that turn your bones to glass. Turn your bones to glass. And though you were just a little squirrel, you understood every word. And in this way, they gave you clarity, a cold-blooded clarity. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. Well, how can I stand and laugh with the man who redefined your body? How can I stand and laugh with the man who redefined your body? In those cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times. Cold-blooded old times.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
A million people have died. It's such a terrible toll. And when you think of what it means in the lives of those families, the heartbreak continues.
As America's COVID-19 death toll approaches 1 million, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is calling on her congressional colleagues to pass a new COVID relief package to address the ongoing pandemic and its fallout. President Joe Biden has ordered flags to half-staff to mark the grim milestone. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the president has a plan to address a nationwide infant formula shortage.
These steps include cutting red tape to get more infant formula to store shelves quicker by urging states to provide consumers flexibility on the types of formula they can buy with WIC dollars.
Psaki says the White House is also increasing infant formula imports and is calling on states' attorneys general to crack down on price gouging and unfair market practices. The House panel tasked with investigating the January 6th insurrection has subpoenaed 5 Republican congressmen to testify, including Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who has previously resisted voluntarily meeting with the panel. The panel also issued subpoenas to Representatives Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, Jim Jordan of Ohio, Andy Briggs of Arizona, and Mo Brooks of Alabama. Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky has temporarily blocked a $40 billion Ukraine aid bill. The measure had bipartisan support from both Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who are both hoping to swiftly pass the bill Thursday. Paul says the bill should include a new position to oversee how the aid is spent.
This bill under consideration would spend $40 billion. This is the second spending bill for Ukraine in 2 months, and this bill is three times larger than the first.
CNN reports the bill will still likely pass in the coming days as Schumer takes a few more procedural steps to get it through the chamber. A House subcommittee on Thursday considered testimony from tribal advocates and leaders on the long-term impacts of boarding schools for Native American children. The schools, which operated from the 19th through mid-20th century, sought to systematically strip those children of their cultural identity. James LaBelle, a survivor of the boarding schools, described to lawmakers how the system robbed him of his native language.
I quickly suppressed my wishes to speak, in fact, because of the horrors I saw and witnessed when other children were severely beaten for speaking their language.
The hearing came the day after the Interior Department released a long-awaited investigation into the federal government's use of boarding schools. The report revealed from 1819 to 1969, the United States operated more than 400 such schools across 37 states. The investigation has so far found marked and unmarked burial sites at 53 different schools across the system. I'm Jonah Chester for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Synchro! Synchro system! Synchro system! Sonia.